Last year, about this time, we were in the middle of a major remodel at my house. We had ripped out our kitchen on Labor Day weekend last year, right down to the studs. We had gone all the way to the floorboards. We had ripped everything out, every cabinet, every appliance, and we rebuilt the whole thing. It took us 4 months to rebuild it. 4 months without a kitchen. 4 months living out of a microwave and takeout food. And it was a little rough, but we got it done. We put in the floor that we wanted. We redid all the electrical and the plumbing. We built the cabinets we wanted, the sink we wanted, the countertop. It was all this stuff that we had planned, and we brought it all together. And even though it took 4 months, we got it done on December 23rd, just 2 days before Christmas. And it was just this amazing feeling of sitting in this thing that we had made, and I was so happy. I just wanted to cook in my new kitchen. And my wife turns to me and she goes, "So what should we do next?" Nothing. I told her, I said, 2019, we're not doing a thing. Nothing. I did my time. 4 months. I get a respite. I get to sit for just a moment and enjoy what we have done. Not looking ahead to anything else. She does that a lot. She has to look ahead to the next thing. I'm like, no! Look at what we have made. Isn't this beautiful? Let's just be in it for a moment. It was the great baseball player Yogi Berra who used to say, no matter where you go, there you are. Yogi was a purveyor of great earthly wisdom and wit. He had some classics. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. 90% of the game of baseball is half mental. And of course, his most famous saying, it ain't over till it's over. But this is always the one I've liked by Yogi. No matter where you go, there you are. I think there's some deep wisdom in this expression. It's about presence. It's about being in the moment. It's about arriving at a destination that you didn't even know you were headed to. The Israelites find themselves, in the book of Jeremiah this morning, they find themselves somewhere they didn't know they were headed to. It had been a good run for the Israelites. They had been in their kingdom. Under Isaiah, a prophetic word had come to them that had turned the people back towards God. But now, by the time of Jeremiah, they've wandered off once again. They've turned their back on God. They've gone to worshiping other idols, other gods. And eventually, this catches up to them. They are defeated and absorbed by the Babylonian Empire. The Babylonian Empire was the greatest empire on the face of the earth during its time. It covered a vast swath of area from Asia deep into Africa and Europe. The Babylonian Empire was huge. And they had conquered Israel. This was a shock to the Israelite system. They were God's chosen ones, the inhabitants of the promised land, and Babylon had defeated them swiftly and surely. And as was custom in that age, the Babylonians then took many of the Israelite leaders and rulers and moved them to live in Babylon. This was a very common military tactic at the time. When an empire would come through and conquer your country, they would remove those leaders who might lead a revolution or an uprising down the road, and they would move them back to live in the home state of the empire. You didn't kill them. You didn't torture them. They just had to live in your country where you could keep an eye on them, and they can't cause too much trouble in this land you've just conquered. So when we get to the book of Jeremiah, many of the Israelites find themselves in exile. They are gone from their home country. They've been taken to Babylon to live, and they feel lost. They're wondering, why are we here? How did we get here? What comes next? What do we do? Where is God in all of this? And Jeremiah comes to them with an answer. Jeremiah says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives. Have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there. Do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you in exile, and pray to the Lord on his behalf for its welfare. You will find your welfare." Jeremiah brings the word of God to the exiles. Finally, they think, a word from God. God is going to tell us how to get out of this situation, how to get back to Israel, how to overthrow these Babylonians and kill them and get us home again. What say you, Jeremiah? And Jeremiah says, build a house, live in it. Plant a garden. I hear the zucchini is delicious here. Take wives, have children. Have grandchildren. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you. This is, without a doubt, the weirdest revolutionary overthrow plan I have ever heard of. You know, when I first met my wife, way back in college, I wasn't very nice to her the first time we met. I was pretty mean. A few months later, I ran into her in the student center, and I thought she was cute, which she was. And I thought, well, I think I might like to ask that girl out on a date, which I did. I had forgotten about how mean I was to her. She had not. She agreed to go out on a date with me. She gave me no indication of our first encounter several months earlier. And she went out, and she will tell you this to this day. This was her purposeful plan in that moment. When I came up and asked her out, she thought to herself, I'm gonna go out with this guy. I'm gonna get him to fall madly in love with me. And then I am going to dump him and break his heart. This past week, we celebrated our 27th wedding anniversary. But don't think for a second I'm not always wary of that other shoe dropping. I know the day's going to come. We're going to be in our 80s, eating a bowl of soup. She's going to look over and go, ha-ha, and walk out. I just know it. My wife can play the long game. Don't think she can. But my wife has nothing on God. You talk about the long game. God comes to the Israelites who are confused and lost and frustrated, and they say, Lord, tell us your plan. And he says, yeah, build a house, take a wife, raise kids and grandkids, plant a garden, you're going to be here for a minute. That's a long game. That is generationally long. Had to be frustrating. The Israelites are adrift and lost, and their hope is dwindling. They know they screwed up. They turned from God. This is the consequence of that. And now they realize this isn't going to be a quick turnaround. This is going to take a minute. Maybe a lifetime. Maybe more. And that frustration could have led to despair, to heartache. But hear God's words again. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you. God sent the Israelites here. They didn't end up here through happenstance, through some drunk stumbling. God sent them here. That means that God is with them on that journey. They're not alone. They're no longer lost, but found. God is with them. They've forgotten that. They had missed that. They thought that God was still back in Israel, but God says, I'm right here with you. I sent you here. You're here because I want you here. God says to them, where I have sent you, there you are. Be there. Live there. Put down roots there. Stand on your feet there. This is where you are, where I have sent you. You're going to be here for a minute. So be here. It's really easy, I think, to not be where we are. We get distracted, unfocused pretty easily. We fail to see where we are, and instead we long for where we are not. We wish we were somewhere else. Right? I'm sitting at my desk at work and I wish I was on vacation. I'm up early in the morning and I wish I was back in bed. I'm sitting in a long, boring meeting and I wish I was out on the golf course. I'm sitting listening to this guy drone on and I wish I was at Arrowhead. I was at Arrowhead last Sunday night. I wished I'd been there the week before. We constantly live our lives in a type of flux, in a type of temporal displacement, obsessing on past mistakes and failings, worrying about our future, our tomorrow, the whole time missing right here and right now. We despair where we find ourselves, wishing that we were somewhere else, never settled in, never in the moment. We sit in church and we wish it was 1995 or 1985 or 1955 when the sanctuary was full every Sunday and the offering plates were overflowing with gold. This wishful thinking pulls us out of the moment, out of the current, out of the present, and makes us long for another time, another place, another moment. Not this one. This one will not do. But today is a gift from God. This day is a blessing. Despite whatever difficulties or struggles it might hold for you, today is a blessing from God for you. But we miss that because our eyes are focused on yesterday and tomorrow, and we don't see the blessing of today. We miss the moments of God's presence and grace right here, right now. We fail to be in this place at this time where God is moving and working because we want to be somewhere else. The lepers missed the moment. Well, 9 of them did. Healed of their leprosy, clean and able to rejoin their lives again. No longer outcast. I wonder where they were in this moment. I'm sure some of them were still stuck in the past. Even though they were now healed, they were still lamenting the poor luck that had led to their marginalization. They still hurt over the disease that had separated them from their friends and their family. They're still mourning those lost days, weeks, months, years that they would never get back, still resentful that they had to go through that. Some of them were no doubtedly already looking to the future, jumping out of this moment, trying to get into the next one, looking forward to rejoining friends and family, rejoining their lives. They were already planning out their next several steps, not rejoicing in the healing of this moment that had taken place here and now, but instead concerned already with tomorrow and what they were going to do. But one of them was here in this moment. One of them was present here and now. And he looked down and his sores were gone and he was healed. And in his moment, his first inclination was to give thanks, to bless Jesus for his divine deliverance. Too often we are caught out of time, wishing backward or forward and not in the present, but God is here now. God is here in this place, and God has called each of us here this morning. I don't know where your morning started out, but at some point, God intervened in your morning and you ended up here. God sent you here. There must be a reason. There is something here that God needs for you, that God wants for you. But if we're sitting here daydreaming about yesterday or tomorrow, we're going to miss it. A lot of times in Christians, I think we do this theologically when we hyper-focus our attention on heaven. Or when we get too caught up in our sins for which we have been forgiven. Now, don't get me wrong. I like heaven. I love heaven, absolutely. Look forward to being there someday. Not today, hopefully. But someday. In the words of the immortal Joe Diffie, I want to go to heaven, I just don't want to go today. But sometimes we get so focused on where this journey ends that we fail to live the life God has for us right now today. Yeah, someday I'm going to get to heaven, but there's a lot of life between now and then. A lot of blessing I'm going to miss. A lot of ministry I'm going to miss. A lot of opportunity to share grace and love. A lot of opportunity to find grace and love that I'm going to miss if I'm looking past today to someday in heaven. It's going to be there, I promise. For just a moment, you can pull your eyes away. You can look around in the here and the now and see where God needs you, what God needs from you today. I'm going to be there someday, but I'm here today. Or we get caught up dwelling in that past, in our sins, our missteps, our mistakes. Told we are forgiven, we can't quite let go yet. We drag our past with us as some type of self-inflicted purgatory, reminding us of all those failures and faults. We chain ourselves to this past, and it restricts us from moving into this day, this moment, tying us mercilessly to yesterday's sins. Focused on yesterday or tomorrow, we miss today. God has put you in this place at this time for a purpose, for a reason. God has sent you here. Be here. Who knows what moment of grace you might be here for? Who knows what moment of hope you might be here for? Who knows what moment of peace you might be here for today, right here? There might be somebody that God has put you here to touch, to love, to forgive, to lift up. If you're looking past today or back to yesterday, you might miss them. We have to let go of yesterday. You're forgiven for those sins. Put those down. Let them go. Spring free to the present that God has given you. You have to stop ignoring today for a heavenly tomorrow. Yes, divine salvation is coming, and we will be reunited with our God and Savior in eternal communion, but that day is not today. God has given you today for a reason. God has sent you here today for a purpose. This is not simply a holding pen to count down the seconds to tomorrow. This is not simply a detention center reminding you of your past. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God's message to the Israelites was that even in exile, the divine blessing and provision of God goes on. The creation blessing of the first chapter of Genesis continues even though they are in exile. Be in today, God says. Build homes, plant gardens, marry, raise kids. I have sent you there, so be there. We are also in exile. Every week we pray that God's kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that because it's not here yet. We're separated from it. We're not yet to it. We're in exile. But instead of spending all of our time mourning our luck and weeping over our disconnect from the kingdom, God calls us to be where God has sent us, this place, this time, this moment, that maybe, just maybe, by being here, in the grace and the love of Jesus Christ, maybe just a small piece of the kingdom might break through. And in doing so, in this moment, it moves us closer to that moment. But God has sent you here today. This is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad today.